Open your Bibles to the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 13. I'm going to conclude today a series of messages dealing with parables of Jesus about the kingdom. And we've been looking at eight parables in this particular chapter, and we've given them, I've given the parables certain names that deal with what I believe the emphasis of the parables are. I didn't bring the list up here today, but we're going to talk today about the power of balance. I want to take Matthew 13 and 52, just one verse, and it says, "Then he said to them, therefore every scribe instructed concerning the kingdom of heaven is like a householder who brings out of his treasure things new and things old." Now, that's the whole parable, one verse. But we'll read after that because there's some information we want. I'm going to read through verse 58. Reading on. "Now, it came to pass when Jesus had finished these parables that he departed from there and he went, and when he come to his own country, he taught them in their synagogue so that they were astonished and said, where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? Is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas, and his sisters? Are they not all with us? Where did this man get all these things?" So they were offended at him, and Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his own country and in his own house." So he could do no mighty works there because of their unbelief. Now, that is the story that follows the story, because in verse 52, Jesus spoke the last of eight parables. I want to cover that parable and talk about that parable and explain it to you, then go into the application of this parable, because on the surface, it seems to be a very simple parable. It doesn't say a whole lot, doesn't seem to indicate much. But looking at it again, it says, he said again, "Therefore, every scribe who is instructed concerning the kingdom of heaven is like a householder who brings out his treasures, out of his treasure, things new and old." The New Living Translation says this. It says, "Every teacher of religious law who becomes a disciple in the kingdom of heaven is like a homeowner who brings from his storeroom new gems of truth as well as old." Well, again, it's called the parable of the householder because of the statement Jesus made there in verse 52. This eighth and final parable wraps up the eight teachings from this particular chapter. And again, Jesus Christ wanted to show his disciples what the kingdom of God was like. And he wanted to show the difference between living in a kingdom and simply living by the selfish decisions of life. There's a difference, y'all, amen, between living by the kingdom and living by what you decide, what you think about everything. And as with other parables, Jesus used this commonly understood object of a house or household to teach about a spiritual truth. A householder is somebody who owns or rents a home, or a homeowner, you might say. Everyone understands the significance and obligations of being a property owner, right? It takes time to get in position to own property, to buy a house, maintain a house, right? And so that the kingdom of God and those who become disciples and instructors in God's kingdom are like a householder, are like someone who owns property, is responsible for something that is not easy to acquire or easy to maintain. Now, understand that when we say the power of balance, I want to show you how in this text, when he says we must, the householder brings out of his treasure, out of his storehouse, things new and things old, that speaks to the power of balance. And we're going to talk to you about what it means to to bring out things old and things new. Now, he's talking about a house. You know, my grandmother on my dad's side had a house over in Hallville, a big, big house. And she had a basement full of old things, you know. And you go down there sometimes, just rummage around, and she had, like, all kind of vases and pots and clocks and all kind of things down there. And so, you know, that homes have lots of old stuff, right? And, of course, the longer you have a home, the more old stuff you get. Amen. And sometimes we got a problem getting rid of old stuff. But really, the text isn't talking about so much old things, like things are of no value, but talking about things of value. Things that are old because they have significance, right? Things that are really foundational. Like, for example, there are family heirlooms that are not just old, they have significance. And in the kingdom of God, there are old things called the Word of God, called the Spirit of God, old things called the truth of God, old things called the anointing, old things called, you know, the glory of God. Right? I mean, even before this was written, the Old Testament is full of old things, but things that are foundational, not just things that are old for old's sake. And that part of the balance we're going to have to discover is, while I appreciate new things and we all want the fresh things in life, we have to recognize that you have to build upon something. Young folk, you got to build upon something. I remember we had a youth conference last year, or this year, first part of the year, great time. And in fact, having another conference, in fact, in March, 8, 9, and 10, with Dave Burrows is coming too, by the way, for that. But the kids were all excited, and they got up and said, "Man, we taking over. It's our turn." I said, "Look, y'all, you ain't got no money, okay? You can't take over if you don't have no money. Now, just don't get too, I mean, get excited, but don't get too excited, because you need some old stuff called money." Right? And us old folk, we got the money. We got the wisdom. We got the plans and the wisdom. We own everything. You ain't taking over without us. It sound good. We taking over, man. It's our time. Well, it's your time, right? We're going to help it make it your time. But the fact is, you're talking about new stuff without the old. A householder has both. It's called the power of balance. Say the power of balance. Now, we can always encourage excitement, but we got to always bring wisdom, don't we? Because that's the power of balance. Because the Bible says, the text said that everyone who becomes a disciple in the kingdom is like a homeowner who brings out of his storehouse things old, things new. And as disciples, matter of fact, before we become teachers, we are first what? Disciples, right? And that no one becomes a disciple, or no one becomes a teacher overnight. Is that right? That's right. It takes time to learn about the principles of God. It takes preparation. Now, I mean, householders need to have the wisdom, natural wisdom, spiritual, in order to be able to become disciples. So Christ is comparing the kingdom of God and our relationship with the kingdom to being a homeowner or householder. Also, disciples are students, that is, we're lifelong learners. Say, "I'm a lifelong learner." You may finish school and get a degree, but you don't stop learning. The learning continues. And learning and acting on the word transforms us into householders. So if you want to become a householder or a person or a teacher in the kingdom, understand the significance of learning and acting on the word. Because we're drawing out of storehouses, not of just, you know, family heirlooms, but out of storehouses of truth, storehouses of anointing and divine action, storehouses of wisdom, right? So whatever you take time to put in you, guess what? It's going to be there when you need it. Activating the power of balance is the objective of this parable. And he's showing us what it means to activate the parable. You're going to see it after we read following this parable and go into the text we read earlier. You're going to see the application of this. But as householders, We are not transient people. What does transient mean? A transient person is someone, definition is, lasting only for a short time and quickly coming to an end. Disappearing, changing, staying in one place only for a short time. That's transient. Householders are not transient. So Jesus Christ is talking about people who are householders, people who have a who are rooted and grounded to allow God the opportunity and the time to grow in them the things he wants to build into them, right? Also understand that you could not, if you were saving for a home and you kept spending the money, you know, every other week, every other month on something, right? And then the savings going back down and you're ready to buy a house. Guess what? The money's gone. You can't, I mean, in other words, you got to find a place of stability. You can't be transient when it comes to your finance and buy a house one day. Right? You got to put some things off. Delayed gratification, the old saying is, right? And so we don't want, transient people don't want to delay the gratification. They want it all now. You know, if you weren't rooted in mathematics, you couldn't take algebra, right? You certainly can't, you can't teach algebra if you don't know it, that's for sure. I mean, I got into a calculus course without algebra. No, I got into physics without calculus, what it was, a long time ago. And I was just there faking it, man, like, yeah, say that. You know what I'm saying? That's obtuse angle. That's geometry, isn't it? That's not even the word, is it? Faking it. I mean, when you get someplace new without having the old, you start faking it. If you don't have a foundation, I'll tell you something. We are a mess without a foundation. Now, the kingdom of God, therefore, is based on the word of God, okay? Therefore, we've got to have deep roots in the word, because the kingdom of God is not based on what you think about God or about the kingdom, about his word. Our opinions do not drive the kingdom. God drives. The king drives his kingdom. And therefore, we have to be rooted and grounded in relationship with God, householders, people who have stability, who've put down roots, people who understand the significance of developing a foundation. Because God's kingdom has endured through all these ages and time because of that. Whereas man's religion, you know, it comes and goes. People raise up churches and religions, they come and go all the time. Organizations come and go because they're all built on the opinions of people. And what some people call new revelation is nothing more than a private interpretation. It's just their take. You know what I'm saying? Their view of the scripture. And, you know, so, yeah, we can have an opinion, but base it on the word. Base it on study, not on what you think about it. People have some weird things about the Bible. They go in the Bible, haven't read the Bible, you know, in weeks, months, if ever, and they're going to read a scripture, and they, I think it means this. That's not the way it works. That's how transients handle the word. I think this. Well, I think when it can get his wife. Transients ask dumb questions. Transients ask irrelevant questions. See, we're not transient. We're householders, all right? How do I live? How do I reach somebody for Jesus? How can I raise my children? See, householders ask questions like that, right? What kind of people should I relate to? People who are householders find other householders. And together they draw upon the wisdom of God. Things old, things new. And the things they get new are based on something. Therefore, they're new in the sense of new methods, not new truth, but new in the sense of they're doing something fresh in their generation. The Amplified Bible uses the term things familiar and things fresh. I like that. Say things familiar and things fresh. We need both, don't we? Because balance comes from having both depth and variety. Balance comes from having old truths and new insights. from unchanging principles, but yet changing methods that are relevant. I mean, some things don't change, but some things need to change. Methods need to change because we're living in a new day. And God's never been one to be behind the times. God is always current to the needs of the people in this generation or any generation, but he never changes the truth. You follow me? So understand that very important principle. And the power of balance allows us to stand, to move, to run, to think, to pray, and to do anything we do with stability and steadiness. Because householders are stable and steady. Say, I'm a householder. Not a transient. I am stable and I am steady. That's a householder. And it's curious, this was the last parable. You know, the eighth parable was the shortest of the parables, but yet it wrapped up and summed up in many ways the previous seven parables. Jesus himself showed the power of balance. He stayed in the place of balance by always knowing when to act, when to move. You know, he often said that to people that, they tried to, kill him, for example. Say, hey, it's not my time to die yet, right? So he passed through the crowd. He often said that, I only say the things that my Father wants me to say. That's balance, right? See, people think that people are unbalanced, I'll say, in their view of God. That, see, religion is all about man's attempt to create a balance where it concerns God. Because the thing about God, you really can't control him. Like I always tell you, we have to follow him. He won't follow us, right? And so you got to find balance in God. See, I mean, you just can't just wake up and say, okay, I tell you what, I'm a married man, so I got to make myself a balance and find a balance where I can, to marry, for men to marry men, you got to change the order, okay? And they even say that, that God is, he made me homosexual, okay? Or he made me, a pedophile. He did not. See, but people who accept a lifestyle create a balance for themselves. All right. Now, of course, it isn't the power of divine balance. It's just their own interpretation. And whether we're that extreme or not, sometimes even us who are nice people, we're trying to create our own balance. The text talks about how on occasion that people go about to establish their own righteousness. Now, so listen, balance is not about trying to like have scales and weigh things where you have, I got this much good, this much bad balance. Or, I haven't been to church for like whatever, I haven't served God like I want to for 10 weeks. I'm going to come to church today and I'm going to worship real loud and balance it out. I mean, whatever. Folks have weird ideas. I'm going to fast or whatever. I mean, balance is not trying to offset bad actions with good actions. I mean balance really in the sense of how we try to, how we stand, okay? I mean, standing really requires balance, doesn't it? Because you have, your inner ear controls that. It's a mechanism in your body that helps you to balance yourself. If you go up on one foot, work a little harder. But you can still balance yourself. That's natural. Spiritually, it's somewhat similar because to find balance in God, you got to put the word to work in your life. Right. See, balance is about obedience to God. Right. Balance is doing the will of God. Now, when a believer is out of balance, oh, we know it. And the answer to a believer, we always know, is going back to the word. Right. Like Jesus Christ said, repent and do the first works. Right. Return to your first love. Get back in balance. Yes. So balance is not what I think. How I perceive God or his word or his kingdom is strictly about what God said, amen, to me from his word. And Jesus Christ, again, he gave us the example, even to the extent that we know that on occasion Jesus would hide himself from people, right, to pray. I mean, where's Jesus? We can't find him. And he was off somewhere praying. Another occasion, he sent people away. Right? Sent the whole crowd away. Said, y'all go away. Not like that, but, you know. I look where he was saying, I'm out of balance now. See, I've been preaching so long, I got to get back in balance by how? Getting back in my Father's presence. I can't, I mean, I want to stay here more and do more for you, but I need to go and get with my power source. See, even Jesus knew when to withdraw. And pull his disciples off the field. Y'all come over here. And they went aside and rested. Did you know that? He took care of them. He kept them in balance. We have to understand the power of balance. Because you can imagine what unbalance is like. Imagine if you were riding a motorcycle. I hope you never do. But if you do, that's a balance still, right? 80 miles an hour, 75 miles an hour, whatever, 30 miles on a motorcycle. What if you lost your inner ear balance all of a sudden? It doesn't drive itself. If you rode a bicycle, if you were walking, just trying to walk and lost your sense of balance, you would fall over. You look ridiculous. Feet moving, trying to get up, can't get up. In fact, a condition called vertigo is exactly that. People lose their sense of what's up and down. It's a strain. I never had it before, but I've had friends who've had that. They say it's terrible. I mean, you gotta lay on your back and close your eyes and just don't open your eyes because the room is moving. The room is not moving, but the imbalance in you makes it seem like, right, things are moving. My point is that there's an imbalance spiritually that we have to avoid. And a power of balance we have to strike. And again, the keys come down to being householders, being stable, being disciples who become teachers, and then knowing how to draw out of the word things old, things new. That's why it's important. Don't get stuck in one teaching. No, I preach prosperity, but I also preach about responsibility with your finances, right? We preach about divine healing. We also preach about, you know, eating well. I mean, we have to preach the whole counsel, right? That's balance, the power of balance. And you may like a certain teacher. You may like a certain author, a certain singer, a certain book and all that. But learn how to hear other people as well. Hey, go listen, you know, listen to Sister Joyce Myers and different ones. And then go listen to, you know, D. James Kennedy. Somebody. They got something to say. That's just so boring. But is it accurate? Right? Like I always tell you, I'm sure you can soar with wings as eagles and run, but can you walk and not faint? That's the deal, isn't it? You got to stir us up. You got to preach us happy, make us jump and run around the room. But you can't jump and run all day. You can't at work, you can't run and jump. When crazy people start coming after you, your crazy uncle show up, what you going to do, jump and shout? You got to know how to walk. And not faint, the power of balance help you to walk. Sometimes the answers to your very deep questions in life are not something new, but something very old. Sometimes the answer is something you learned a long time ago. Something you heard somebody say. Your grandmother told you, your mother told you. I mean, old things sometimes are the answer to very modern problems. Remember, I mentioned we went to a conference in Atlanta, myself and Pastor Stevens, and Creflo Dollar's conference, matter of fact, and a gentleman was there who was 103 years old, an evangelist. 103. The man walked to the podium, okay, only wore glasses for reading, no special medication, had hair. I mean, all that. It's like, are you sure you're 103 years old? Okay. And he sat down in a little stool they gave him, you know. But then, so we waited for these words of wisdom. You know what he said? Stay on the Lord's side. He'll bless you. I'm like, you know what? That's exactly right. I mean, he could have said, walk in the anointing. And he could have said, you know, we say stay on the Lord's side. And he will bless you. He said more than that, but I'm saying, but that was his main point. Now, he knew what he was saying. The older you get, the more simple you see truth. Amen? The less complicated you want to be. And that's the power of balance, I believe, you know, in manifestation, that we have to understand that old answer, the old thing that's even by older people sometimes makes a lot more sense than what sometimes you hear around your family or TV and books. I mean, anymore, I love books. I still read books. I was in the bookstore yesterday. But, man, I've read so many books. I've read books, y'all. I'm not booked out yet, you know, but I learned. But still, I'm like, okay, now, can you, why 400 pages? Can you do this in like 100 pages? Can you say this? I mean, give me the essence. Give me the essence of this revelation, because even the Bible isn't as long as some people's books, right? The whole New Testament is less pages than most people's books. But moving right along. What are you saying in there that we can't hear in a more concise fashion? All right. Now, so then we want to find that place of balance. And we live in a world that's unbalanced. I heard on the news yesterday that, I guess this week, this new video game console came out, PlayStation 3. And there have been a rash of crimes, right, where people are robbing people who are coming out the store with these game consoles. I mean, I read one occasion where a boy waited, listen to me, he camped out 36 hours for the store to open up, I guess over the weekend, whatever, to get a game console. And then he came out and somebody hit him over the head and took it from him. Another occasion, someone shot, you know, people coming out. In other words, they were doing stuff to people to get the games that you do in the games. Any curious? They were doing to people to steal games what the games themselves are about. And I thought, you know what? I bet these kids who rob for a video game think it's a video game. Because you get desensitized over a while shooting people, chasing people. And these games do exactly that. And parents, you all know that, okay? I don't allow any violent video games in my house. We have a media camp. They play video games. I snatch all the ones out that are violent. Getting quiet in this Baptist church. I mean, whose house is it anyway? Well, it's my game, but it's my house. My TV, my electricity. Here's a plan for you, buddy. Get you an apartment. Get you a house. Get you to a transient self. Get you like, you know, and you go plug in your game on your TV with your electricity. But in this house, we will serve the Lord. And no violent video games are allowed. Amen, somebody. But again, this is what we have in this world with imbalance. We have madness all around us, and yet we're called to be people of balance in the midst of all this imbalance. Look at John chapter 8. Now, people don't have a problem when you bring out old things, things they're familiar with. People oftentimes struggle with the things that are fresh. I mean, church and corporate life. I mean, people get stuck, right, in their ways. Even when it's time for something fresh, all they can hear is something old. In John chapter 8, look at what it said here, verse 21. Then Jesus said to them again, I'm going away, and you will seek me, and you will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come. So the Jews said, will he kill himself because he said, where I go, you cannot come? And then he said to them, you are from beneath, I'm from above. You are of this world, I'm not of this world. Therefore I said to you, you will die in your sins. If you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. Now he's talking to a mixed company. Pharisees, some disciples were there. And Jesus Christ is going off the deep end as far as they're concerned. Now he's bringing balance as far as God's concerned, right? by showing who he is, his purpose in life and ministry and all that. But he's talking to people who only understand old things. And old things understand are partially, mostly, you know, wrong. They got old religious tradition. I mean, old truth is good. Old tradition might be bad. The point is, he said, I'm going away, and you will seek me and can't find me. He said, well, what do you mean? He's talking about he's going to kill himself? How can you go away? You're going to kill yourself? And then he said to them, you are from I'm from above, you're from beneath. Then he said, you're of this world, I'm not of this world. Now, listen, y'all. If you go around talking about I'm not of this world, that's a problem for most people. Come on, somebody. I am not of this world. Oh, boy. So it is, it's balance. It's a balanced teaching he's giving based on himself, his kingdom. But it makes no sense to people around him. Now watch this. It gets deeper. He says, again, he said to them, verse 24, therefore I say you will die in your sins. And then verse 25, then they said to him, who are you? I love that, man. Who are you? Who are you? Right? He's talking about, man, I'm from above, you're from beneath, I'm not of this world. He's talking about where I'm going, you can't come. Right? He's talking about the kingdom of God. See, he was bringing a whole new paradigm, a whole new structure, a whole new way of living, and it ran right up against the old way, the old traditional ways. I mean, in fact, his intention was to actually to drive out religion, to fulfill the law, but drive out religion. And that was very difficult for them to handle. So, hey, who are you? He said to them, watch it. He said, just what I have been saying to you from the beginning. Who are you? I'm what I've been saying. Who are you? I am what I have been saying, which means I am the Word. You get that? I mean, I am what I have been saying. That's all I can be because I am the Word. Hallelujah. In the beginning was God. In the beginning was the Word. Word with God. Word was God, right? So Jesus Christ is the Word. Amen. And because of their imbalance, they couldn't receive that. It goes on and says this. I have many things to say to you, to say and to judge concerning you, but he who sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I hear from him. From who? From Father God. And they did not understand that he spoke to them of the Father. Again, an example of how Jesus had balance in his life because he drew upon God. Both his relationship, his direction, the words, the instructions, all came from his Father. And that's what it's like to be a doer, to have kingdom balance and being a doer of the Word. Listen, church, be a doer of the Word, all the Word, the parts you like, and the parts you don't like. We love the part that says, my God shall supply all my needs. I love that part. Oh, God, supply all my need. I am so needy. Right? When the part that said, woman, thou art loosed. Hey, we love that part. Lord, loose me. But then the part that says, pray without ceasing. I'm busy, Lord. That part that says tithe and give offerings and worship God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Well, God, I don't know about that. See, so we have to understand balance is doing all the Word, the parts you like and the parts you... Listen, I read the book of Judges. I do not like the book of Judges, except for Gideon. That's all I like in the book of Judges, Gideon. All I like. Rest of that, I don't like at all. Too much violence. People getting killed, people putting the sword in and twisting and that kind of stuff. But hey, I read it. Book of Job. Don't like Job. No siree. Nah, I can, you know, I'd rather read Psalm or something happy. But I read Job. Preach every now and then, once every 10 years, I preach a message on Job. I don't like it. I mean, now, that's a preference, see? But I respect all the Word of God. I'll go wherever God says go. When somebody says, turn the book of Job, I'm right there. Right. So whether it's something old, something new, if I think I know something that somebody's saying, I'm still going to listen. because I'm going to learn something more. Because faith comes by hearing, right? Not by having heard. So that kingdom balance is doing all the word. And that people think that balance, people outside of Christ think balance is compromise and appeasement. So we're going to try to negotiate with people, you know, who are sworn to our destruction, for example. Negotiate what? Just stay out of their way, man. Avoid them, you know. If they attack you, you know, the military can deal with that. I mean, we try to do things out of a sense of reasonableness, but some people have no ability to balance because they reject God, they reject truth. And until God works with them and whatever judges them, they won't even have ears to hear. Even Christ said, if you have ears to hear, let him hear. He wasn't trying to speak to everybody. Jesus wasn't trying to speak to everybody, but to those who had what? If you don't want to hear what he has to say, even Jesus Christ don't want to talk to you. He wants to talk to you, but he wants you to be willing to hear. Because the power of balance, to get balance, you got to hear. All the counsel of God. And that's the part you want to hear, but the whole part. Now, here's the part we're going to read. Now, look back at the text, please, verse 55. Make it 53. It said, when Jesus came, when he finished these parables, he departed from there, and when he came to his own country, he taught them in their synagogue. Now, so here he taught these eight parables, from the parable to the sower on down to this parable to the householder, about what the kingdom of God is like. I mean, explained it, expounded it in great detail. And then he comes home after preaching about what I call the power of balance and stands up in his home church, you might say a synagogue, and begins to teach from a balanced perspective, right? From God's kingdom perspective. And the people are like, where did this man get this wisdom? Now, it's funny how that they said, we know him, right? Carpenter's son, but now they got mad and said, he's this man. That who that man? See, it was Jesus. Y'all know Jesus? Say his name, Jesus. Oh, no, you're mad. He's that man. Where'd that man get that knowledge from? Where'd that man get that wisdom and power from? This is not the carpenter's son, and his mother's called Mary, and his brother is James and Joseph and Simon and Judas, which proves, by the way, that Mary had more children after Jesus, right? That she, Christ was the only begotten son of God with the miraculous conception, but she had at least six other children besides Jesus, right? Interesting, isn't it? Now, but the Bible says that, verse 57, and so they were all offended at him. Now, why were they offended? Come on now. This is one of your own. Why are you mad at Jesus? Why are you upset with him? What could he have said that made you become offended? Well, it's the same thing happens when you try to bring something new to people who are stuck in something old, and that old not even being foundational in truth, right? But traditions only. And even in his own home church, they were so steeped in their way of thinking and their perspectives of the kingdom of God that they couldn't even receive Jesus Christ and hear what he had to say or accept the miracles. He had the nerve to say that this is the carpenter's son, which almost is a put down because they say, you know what? How can something so uncommon come from such a common boy? We know your father, he ain't nothing. All y'all ain't nothing. So how can you stand up here and be something? That's what he's saying. But, you know, I mean, you are a carpenter, not Joseph's son, right? You are a carpenter's son. Like saying you are a woman, or you are African American, you're Hispanic. I mean, they put you down because of you from them people. You went to public school? You from Indianapolis? Your hair nappy, hair straight, whatever. See, people, if they don't want to accept what God is doing in you, they'll find some way to try to dismiss it. They were literally dissing Jesus, his whole family. He's the carpenter's son. You couldn't be full of power, full of wisdom. And so, see, people's balance, their balance system is they try to value or evaluate you based on other factors besides you. You know, in my business, many times before I let people meet me, I send them my work. Look at all this work I've done. Oh, that's great. Then I show up. You black? They don't say that, but right? Because if you see you black, some people think you can't do quality work. Oh, it ain't true. Oh, it's true, y'all. I'm living it. You got to send your work ahead of you. Go check all this work. All right, man, great. All right, yeah, you can help me. And show up now. Can I still help you? Well, let's see. I guess you can help me. Because you're the carpenter's son. Now, check this out, y'all. If that's what they said about Jesus, what in the world are they saying about you? My Lord, I don't want to think about that. They going to put Jesus down? What are they saying about you? It don't matter what they're saying about you. It don't matter. As long as you show up with the power of the kingdom, wisdom, and authority, I mean, they'll realize they need you. They won't like you. Hey, you're the carpenter's son, but pray for me, you know. You know what I'm saying? Because they recognize that here is Jesus with the power and the wisdom to help them because he's walking in kingdom balance. So his family was offended. I mean, his church was offended. We know from other scriptures that his family at some point did become offended briefly. And the Bible says, look at verse 58. So because that they were offended, verse 58 says, and so he did only a few miracles there because of their unbelief. Wow. Because of their lack of balance. Hear me. They locked themselves out of the miracles and the power of God manifestation. Because, listen, y'all, when it says he couldn't do mighty, he did only a few works there. Listen, Jesus wasn't just upset with them and refused to heal them. No, he could not work there. Please hear that now. Hear me. Jesus could not do any more than he did there. Because apart from miracles, he requires faith of people. Like ears to hear. And that Jesus won't do any more for people than they will believe him to do. That's the ultimate. Apart from miracles. Sovereign miracles are different. But apart from that, man, you don't get no more out of Jesus than what you are willing to believe. And if we as believers especially, if our lives are not in kingdom balance, he can't do no great works. He's there, he's helping you, he's blessing you, but the floodgate is not open because we're not in the balance of the kingdom he called us for. We're not the householders, the stable people he has trained and prepared to be there. You know, disciples, again, you know how they were. He trained them, taught them. Storm came up, rocked the boat. They woke up Jesus, said, Lord, don't you care that we're perishing? Remember that? Don't you care, Lord? One gospel said, don't you care? He rebuked the storm and said, hey, where's your faith? Why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do what I just have done? So he expected them to let him sleep. You still the storm, right? So there's a place where if we're not in balance, then we're going to miss the best that God has for us. Let me finish up here. Now, if we are looking for God's greater manifestation of grace and power in our lives, in our church, and in our ministries, let me ask you these questions. First of all, are you a disciple? What's the answer to the question? Yes. What's the evidence? I feel it. I say it. I blab it, I grab it, I confessed it. Well, no, we see you in Sunday school. We see you in Bible study. Sunday morning doesn't really count. Sunday morning is like just worship service, amen? Come to encounter God's presence. We're learning, but I'm a teacher, that's why you're learning. But the real teaching services meetings are Wednesday and Sunday morning. Sunday school, right? It's quiet in this Presbyterian church. Are you a disciple?
Yes.
Say, I'm working on it. Thank you. Are you a disciple?
Yes.
Say, I'm working on it. Are you a disciple?
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you. Be honest, right? Right? Be honest. Say, I'll be honest. Say, I'm not one of those people who has a voicemail message that says, I'll call you right back. Don't let your voicemail make you a liar. I'll call you right back. Just say, leave a message. Thank you. Because we say we're disciples too, don't we? Because talk is cheap, isn't it? How cheap is talk? How cheap is it? Nothing cheaper. It don't get no cheaper than just talking. Hmm? Are you a disciple? I'm working on it. Yes, and I'm working on it. Yes, and I'm working on it. Amen. Okay. Are you a householder or a transient? All the transients, raise your hand. Transients, raise your hand. Come on now, be bold. I'm a transient. I have issues. Pray for me. How many householders here today? How many like working on everything? All the time. Next question. Do you have a storehouse of the word? Now see, householders have like garages and basements for stuff, right? Transients have bags, like a sack. Okay? You know, I went to the library, looked for a book, Central Library. Well, that's a big mess down there. I got to fix that. But they built a new one, right? But I was there when the doors opened, and a bunch of transient folk came in the library, which is smart because it's warm in there, right? But, you know, they all had their bags in their hands, little bags. Little bags for all, that's their, you know, possessions, you know. They carry the stuff in the bags, small or big bags. So my question is, do you have a storehouse of the word or just a sack of opinions? What, you got a sack? Come on, show me your sack. Hold it up. Who got the sack? No sacks? I'm just messing with you. Okay. So we are householders with storehouses, right? So I got a storehouse of the word, not just sacks of opinions. Okay. Do you have a foundation of familiar, time-tested truth? Because, again, things old are familiar things, time-tested truths, things that you can rely upon and pull upon, things you've learned. And then finally, do you bring out fresh stuff based on your foundation? When it's time for something new to come out, something fresh, can you bring it out based on the resource that God has given you, that you've acquired, you know, over the time, over learning and growing in God? Or do you bring out the stale stuff? Like croutons. The fat time of croutons are not stale bread. I'm like, hey, that's stale bread. That is seasoned stale bread. Unless they just made them. All right, just take them all off my salad, right? That's fresh salad. Them are stale croutons, right? I don't want no croutons in my stuff. Like seasoned, still going to make it like it's something. That's stale bread. Take it off my salad. So we have to have some substance in the fresh things we bring. Not just something you warm over and you go bring it out and season it. But it's literally fresh. You created it. You fashioned it. I mean, you brought it out just before we saw it. Amen, somebody? And the same goes for how we live our lives and preach and teach and work in our working environments. I mean, be fresh. Learn how to be fresh by having a foundation of the familiar. Because all this speaks to what I call kingdom balance. Amen, somebody? Amen. And that's a long explanation for a very, very short parable. Let's all stand. Amen.